Welcome to the Do Zone, where entrepreneurs go to get things done. I'm your host, Josh Thomas. You can find me on all social media at JT Literally. Each week, I bring on experts from a variety of backgrounds to share their secrets on how to optimize performance so you can take massive action and crush your goals. The Do Zone is sponsored by the Automated Client Machine. This system brings you daily sales and calls booked on your calendar without burning on cash on ads, posting on social media, jumping on 1,000 podcasts, or doing any cold outreach at all. We use this method with a brand new business to generate more than $100,000 cash collected in less than 30 days. Grab the step-by-step blueprint that shows exactly how we do this without risking a single dollar on ads at getconversions.net. Once again, that's getconversions.net. Today's guest is Asghari Lipshi. She started her first business at 16 and scaled it to $10,000 a month. Since then, she has built and sold multiple companies for seven figures, including supplement brands, garment manufacturing, and distribution across Asia. Today, she owns two construction companies managing six-figure contracts. She invests in luxury real estate and helps six-figure professionals launch profitable service businesses in record time. Asghari, welcome to the Do Zone. Tell us something you believe is the key to getting stuff done that most people wouldn't think of.
Don't wait for your passion. Just do it.
Don't wait for it.
Don't wait for your passion. Don't wait around until you feel like you have to do it. Make your to-do list and go do it, even if you don't feel like doing it.
I feel like that's coming from some experience. So did you either wait too long for it to show up, or did you go ahead and get it done before you were ready? Or both?
Both. Absolutely both, right? You know what you have to do. We all do. Every single person, for the most part, knows what they have to do. But then you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, let me just enjoy my coffee for an hour. Who could relate to that?
That sounds glorious. Yeah. This sounds way better than like work.
Exactly. So don't wait till you feel like doing it. Go do the thing you know that you have to do.
Yeah, there's this progress happens squarely outside of the comfort zone. You know, some version of that I've heard many times throughout my life. And, you know, it's like, I don't really want to go to the gym, but I also don't want to be fat. You know, I don't want to deal with all of this stress, but I also don't want to be an alcoholic. So we're always trying to like balance between, you know, one comfort zone and the zone of progress, which is where actual results happen.
It's usually that convincing conversation with yourself, like, let's just try, just get up, do it for 2 minutes, and then we can go back to doing what we want to do. But it's that 2 minutes. If you do the 2 minutes, you're most likely going to do more than 2 minutes.
That reminds me of, you know, the most important step for training for a marathon is putting your shoes on.
Yeah.
I've heard that. I'm like, well, just put your shoes on, tie the laces, you know, stand up and walk towards the door. One little thing at a time, you know, and it's kind of silly that we talk about these little things, but switching over to the idea of an entrepreneur, so many of us love the idea of running a business, starting our own thing and growing this, but we stop right at that threshold of discomfort and we get stuck there.
There's also a lot of thoughts behind it, right? We have so much stigma built around failure. Failure is such a big bad wolf. We can't fail. Everybody's gonna see it. So that fear also takes over. And then you use your procrastination to feel that fear and actually not do anything. So you can't fail.
Yeah, it's like the avoidance of failure is actually what manifests the failure itself.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So you've built successful businesses throughout your entire life. I want to know about this first one you built when you were 16.
Well, I mean, I'm going to correct you there. I have not built only successful companies. I've built multiple big failure companies as well.
Thank you. Thank you for admitting it. Yes. I don't like to put anybody on the spot, but yes.
Yeah,
If you're
I'm
willing
not.
to admit it, yeah, most of us have failed at more than we've been successful at.
Yes, 100%.
So tell me about the one that worked, and tell me about the one that didn't work.
Several worked and a lot didn't work. So we'll start with the first one. I got super lucky with my first business. I didn't focus on anything direct to consumer. I focused on wholesale manufacturing. So everything was large orders. And it's easier to be successful if you're working in a B2B environment because you're dealing with less clients, if that makes sense. But success makes a 16, 17, 18-year-old quite cocky, which leads you to make extremely big, horrible mistakes.
Oh yeah. Now's the time to get it out, Asghari. It's okay, nobody's listening anyway.
No, of course not. Of course.
That's
It's just you and me. And a
right.
whole lot of bottles of mezcal that I'm dying to find out about.
Exactly. So, but it's I think that this is a great representation of, I think everybody who's experienced some level of success is like, I am a god. I do everything right, and they're like, I can't make a mistake. And then you go and you get into the next decision, and then it's like, oops. And so I don't need the details, but okay, you got cocky, you got overconfident. Did you make a too big of a bet? Did you trust the wrong person? What was the next thing that happened?
So I had a supplement brand at the time, in the wholesale space. So I would manufacture, sell to wholesalers. And because of that, like I mentioned, I didn't have a lot of clients to deal with. And at that age, I decided to myself that my profit margins are around 34 to 37%. But if I go direct to consumer, it'll probably be more than 50, between 50 and 70%. That's what I thought of. I didn't calculate for all the additional expenses and everything that's going to come with going to D2C. And there lies my failure.
It's interesting. Like we only see what we want to see sometimes. And when you were telling me that, it reminded me of when like Uber Eats first became a thing. There was this place in Austin called Eat Out Inn. It was like the predecessor to Uber Eats, like before Uber got into the food delivery game. And they would go and contract with all of these restaurants. And they would say, well, we're going to charge, basically 30% of your ticket.
Ooh.
And all of the businesses were like, yeah, that's a great deal. And I was like, what? That doesn't sound like a great deal at all. You're going to take 30% of your, and it's food. Like food has a terrible profit margin. But what I didn't know, because I wasn't in, a restaurant business, you find out later that, okay, well, if you're going to have somebody on staff that's going to deliver the food, then you got to pay the staff, you got to pay liability insurance, and then you got all of this other compliance stuff that you have to do, and it's way more than 30%. And it's like you don't see those things because you don't ask those questions because you don't have to, until you do. And then it's like, ha-ha, this is why we pay the middleman.
Yeah, gotcha.
Shucks. Yeah, it makes sense. And so what is it that you're focusing on now? Who do you help? Who do you serve?
So, it's kind of the cliche, right? I've gotten so good at launching and starting and scaling. I now help others do the same, but I stick with a very specific industry that I know I can make my clients win. So I help them, first of all, figure out what business to launch that doesn't have anything to do with passion. Launch the business, scale it for a year.
And you said you stick with a very specific industry or type of business. Are you able to disclose what that is, or is it secret?
Yeah, no, it's not a secret, not anymore.
Okay.
Service-based industries, super high margin, recurring revenues,
Did you
easy to
say storage space?
No, service-based businesses,
Service-based. Oh, okay. Got it.
storage units would qualify under that, yes.
Service-based businesses, high margin, easy to deliver. You don't have inventory. Yeah. Makes sense.
Low
And
overhead.
so then your focus is on helping people launch those businesses from zero.
Correct. Actually, first step is figuring out which one to open that's going to do well in their local market. A lot of people have ideas that they come with, but it's like, do you know if this one's going to do well in your market? Do you know how many competitors are there? Do you know what they're selling? Oh, no. But I think it's going to do well in my market. Okay, let's roll this back first.
Right. And so these are the questions we have to ask before we bother getting into it. Makes sense. And so what have you seen in helping people get launched and getting started with this? What have you seen are there industries that are like easier to be successful in than others?
Most service-based businesses, if you start them off the right way, you're starting them with a very low capital investment, right? So you meet your ROI most of the time in half a year, 1 year.
Okay. And in service-based businesses is kind of like this big, broad, like really broad brushstroke. It's funny. I remember a friend of mine, Adam Lyons, he came up and did a presentation, and he always likes to find this like kooky thing that's way out of place to like anchor you and be like, what's that? He's really good at this. And so he says, I hope any business that is making less than $38.5 million per year. And he kept saying that over and over, and we're all like, what an oddly specific thing to say, you know? And he says, do you know why I help all businesses that are under $38.5 million per year? And we're like, why, Adam, why? And he says, well, it's because the government designates a small business as any business that's from zero to $38.5 million per year. Like, oh, you help small businesses, you know? And so it's like service-based businesses is like a
Well,
lot.
let me narrow it down.
Yeah, can you narrow it down a little bit?
Do you live in a house? Do you live in an apartment?
I live in a house.
Okay. So do you have front lawn, back lawn,
Yeah, both.
lawn care service business? When was the last time you got your house painted?
Probably before I bought it.
Okay. That's a service.
Okay.
And on average, the ticket size is 3,000 to onwards to paint an exterior of a house.
Okay.
But here's the other thing. Commercial buildings, government buildings, they also need lawn care. They also need buildings painted, right? So you have service businesses that can serve residential, commercial, and government.
Okay, makes
So,
sense. So that's where your focus is.
correct.
Okay, understood. And the barrier to entry for this, you don't need a lot of overhead. You don't need a lot of materials. What do you start with? What's the most important thing? Once you know where you're going to be and what business you're going to be, what's that most important first step you have to do once you say you hit the start button?
Do you want to be an owner operator or do you want to be an absentee owner?
That's the next thing.
Yeah, that's the next question you need to ask yourself, or we ask our clients, because that's going to determine how we're going to structure the business. If you
I
want to
see.
be an absentee owner, we're going to hire a manager, we're going to train the manager, then we're going to hire your sales staff, your technicians. If you want to be a single operator, it's a very different model. We're training the business owner quite heavily. We're training the business owner in both aspects, but if you want to be a single operator, then it's a lot more training for that business owner.
Awesome. And so, where can we go if somebody wants to engage and learn more about this? Where can they go to meet you and understand more about what you do and see if it's a good fit?
Asghari.com.
Asghari.com. Very
Keep it.
good. Keep it simple. Yeah. It's like, yeah, at least you don't have a common name like Josh. There's no josh.com. Yeah. So, very good. Hey, we're going to wrap up from here. Thanks so much to our guest, Asghari Lipshi, for coming on and sharing a little bit of wisdom about how she gets things done. and all of the things that she was successful with, and admitting, hey, successful people have probably failed more than they've succeeded at most things. So for those of you who want to connect and learn more about her directly, you can go to her website, asghari.com. And whether you're on your morning commute in the gym or somewhere out in the field, snap a selfie, tag me at JT literally. Show me what you do while you're in the do zone, or if you're out there painting somebody's house or cutting somebody's lawn, whatever it is. And one more time, if you want daily sales and calls booked without having to burn money on ads or run yourself ragged chasing down your next lead, you can get the automated client machine blueprint at getconversions.net. That's it. Let's get to work.